Mark 11:23, we're starting a new series entitled Faith, Words, and Confession. Everybody say faith, words, and confession. So today's title of today's message is Get a Grip on Your Lips. Getting a Grip on Your Lips. Most people have heard the phrase, but I'll repeat it again. It was originated by Kenneth E. Hagin, and he said this: if you're not happy or satisfied with what you have in life or possess in life, then you check out one inch below your nose or check out what you've been seeing. Where's the accidents? When you do an autopsy of all your problems and all this stuff that's blowing up in your life, where's the accident? Where you got to look first? You got to look at your mouth. Amen. And so we want to gain and grow in a greater appreciation of our faith-filled words, faith words, not flesh words or fear words, grow in our understanding of how words matter and how powerful words are. You can't separate faith from words. You can't separate believing from speaking, because that's the hinge or the doorway to the supernatural, believing and speaking. Amen. You can't separate confession from faith. So faith always has a good confession. I'm not talking about going into a box with a priest in a confessional, not confessing your sins. I'm talking about the confession of your faith, the confession of what you believe. Amen? So faith, words, and confession is our theme or subject matter for this month. Praise God. And so we trust the Lord will help you gain and grow an understanding about that. All right, Mark 11:23. I'll start at verse 22. It's on the screen there. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. So that's enough there to just comb your hair and come to church and go home. Have faith in God. But a lot of people have to understand, what does that mean? Well, it means also, it means to have unquestioning belief in who? He doesn't say have faith in your pastor, have faith in God. Then he begins to explain the principles of the law of faith, which is some of the most important words that fell from the lips of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. Verse 23 says, he says what? For I surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. So in other words, he said, talk to your mountains. Faith begins but saying it. Not just praying it, but saying it. So he says the higher precedent is saying, the speaking part of faith, the saying part of faith. He said, whoever says to this mountain. So in other words, we don't talk about it, we talk to it. If the mountain is happening in our body, we talk to our body. That's the mountain. If the mountain is happening in your home and family, you talk to that home and that family. If the mountain is your financial situation and lack and want and need, then you talk to those bills. You talk to that lack. You talk to that want and need. And some many people think, well, this is a long distance, this is a hard and complicated issue. No, a lot of times it's local. We dial the mountain up, 1-800-MOUNTAIN. I got to talk to you today. My faith is going to talk to you for a minute. My faith in God's going to talk to you for a minute. Somebody say, praise the Lord, Lord. So sometimes you look at it, and God would remind me, he said, you're looking at all those bills. Are you talking to them? Most people just looking at them, stressed out over them. Come on now, struggling with them. I got lack everywhere. But you have to maintain your confession of faith and be consistent about speaking to your mountain. So a local call for many of us would be 210-MOUNTAIN. Or you just look in the backyard and say, there you are, I'm talking to you. Praise the Lord. He said, whoever says to the mountain. Now, as pastor, a lot of people tell me what their mountain is. They give me great detailed descriptions, but they don't tell me they've been talking to it. So this month, let's make a transition back to our original practice of faith that we're speaking to stuff. We're speaking to our mountain. You're dialing the mountain up. No matter how big it is, Jesus said you start by saying to the mountain. That first word for say is the Greek word epo, which means to command. That means you don't request, mountain, please leave me. Giant, please walk away from me. This bad doctor's report, please, Lord, take it away from me. He said, you talk to it. You command it. You command. Come on, everybody ain't got that yet. You got to command the mountain. You command it. He said, say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea. He said, he gives you a description. What should you say? Be removed. Get out of here. Be dissolved and disappear. Debt, be paid in full. Bills, be paid up and paid off. In the name of Jesus. Is this the right church? Am I in the right church? Okay. He said, be cast in the sea and does not doubt where? In your heart, because that's your believing. That's the faith production center. The faith production center is in your heart, in your spirit. That means you believe with the heart. The Romans 10 says, with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, with the heart we believe, with the mouth we receive. We speak with the mouth, but we believe in our heart. So even though thoughts of doubt may be hitting your head, faith will still work in your heart. So I'm glad Jesus said that, because a lot of times I'm looking at stuff, I'm like, man, the devil said you're not going to get it this time. It's not going to happen this time. You're going under, buddy. And he even calls me buddy sometimes. You're going under, buddy. I'm not your buddy, Mr. Devil. And I'm sweating and I'm trembling. And thoughts of doubt are hitting my head. Come on now. And I'm thinking, man, this thing is too big right now. But Jesus said, talk to it. He said, don't doubt in your heart. So faith will work in your heart, even with thoughts of doubt hitting your head. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then he said, believes those things which he, but doesn't doubt his heart, but believes those things which he said will be done. What? If we have to don't doubt in the heart, that means we must believe with the heart. That means I got to get faith in my heart. If we had a scanner right here when you came through these doors that registered, how much faith do you have in your heart? Where would each one of us be? Would we be up here? Full? Not full? Or less full? Half full? Or you know, all this technology, we might as well come up with an AI, a Holy Ghost AI, that says we can scan your joy and your faith coming through the door. Be warned. That way we can know how to locate people. Now, how do you locate people where their faith is? By what they're talking about. Because faith can be seen and faith can be heard. So can fear. So can frustration. You're saying it. Locate you. He said, do not doubt in your heart, but believe where? With the heart. Everybody said, I must believe. With my heart. That means you believe with your spirit. Now, religious folks and religious Christians try to believe with their head. And that's where the devil whips them all every time. Because he keeps them in the reason realm, the mental realm. And you're trying to figure out how God's going to do this. How's God going to work this out? How God's going to work my miracle? How God going to perform this miraculous act that I need in my life? And you're trying to figure it out, and the devil's going to whop, whop, whop. And he whips you every time. But if I believe with my heart, I keep him in the spirit realm or the faith realm, I can whip him 100 times out of 100. So you need to tell the devil this morning when you take communion, your whipping days are over, Mr. Devil. Your whipping days are over. I will not be defeated. I will not quit. Come on now. I am victorious in Christ. I am triumphant in Christ. Come on now. And victorious in this life. And I'm just going to start smelling and experiencing victory after victory after victory after victory from this day forward. Amen. Praise God. But shall believe it in his heart, it shall be done. It says he and whatever he says, he will have whatever he says. So the first word in verse 23 is say, which is command. The second word is believe those things which he says will be done. That word says is the Greek word laleo, which means to say out loud. Faith is never silent, brothers and sisters. This is never a silent act. Amen? If you don't say anything, you lose by default. You can have a whole bunch of faith in your heart, but if you don't believe what you say will come to pass, if you don't say it out loud, because you can't say, I'm saying it, and doing this. No, there's no voice. No voice, no victory. You got to say it out loud. I am a child of God. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. A brand new species and being. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The word is working mightily in my life. Praise God. God's word is coming to pass in my life. Say it out loud. There's no silent Christianity. People have grabbed all that religious nonsense and gobbledygook, and they're praying over their meal silently. Come on now. You're not sanctifying that meal when you got your head bowed. I don't care how reverent you look. You're not releasing any faith over your food. There's no such thing as silent praying. I know people do it. There's no moment of silence. God doesn't hear silence. He hears a sound. Jesus said, you got to say. A sound needs to come to the mountain. A sound needs to come out loud. Come on now. You need to say out loud. We're talking about faith, words, and confession here. Praise God. You got to get a grip on your lip. Because, see, some people get all gripped in fear, and their lips get tight, and their lips get closed. They don't say things like, fear, leave me now. I have not been given, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I'm telling you, in those situations that she and I faced, the fear would grip, man, want to keep you up at night, want to keep you worried, all stressed out. You got to talk to that fear. Fear, leave me now. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. I go back to sleep. Anybody getting anything out of this? He said, whatsoever he shall have, whatsoever he says. So that last says, right before verse 24, you see it up there, that last says is where we get the toy, Lego. It means systematic building block. E.W. Kennan said it this way: faith builds the road over which faith, confession builds the road over which faith builds the mighty cargo. That means we keep a grip on our lip. We keep saying it. We're not saying what we feel. We're not saying what we see. We're saying what we want to see based on God's word. I am healed. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I'm healed. Where every time we're eating dinner, I'm healed. I'm speaking healing. I'm talking healing. I'm practicing healing. Somebody say, praise God. I keep saying it. I keep saying it. Because I believe it and I speak it. And I thank God for it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, verse 24 says we have what we pray. So whatever, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask when you what? So now he's not talking about saying it. He's talking about praying it. But let me tell you, if you pray it, you still have to say it. So he said, what are the things you ask when you pray? Believe that you receive them and you will what? So what does that mean, brothers and sisters? That means when I pray, I got to believe that I receive it when I pray. That means I believe I take it and I have it, take possession of it now when I pray. Not I'm praying to get it. That's where people miss it a lot of times. They're praying to get. They don't pray to say, I receive it now. It's mine. I have it now. The money I need by the end of the month, I believe I receive it now. So I thank you for it because I've already received it. Oh, is it? It hasn't happened yet. Yeah, but the principle says I got to believe I receive it. Then I'll have it. That means I got to believe I got it before I get it. And some of you will get it by 12 o'clock midnight tonight. Then you'll wake up and say, I got it. That means you got to believe you got it before you get it. Small example. I'm not bragging on me. I'm not bragging on God. I'm bragging on God. I'm bragging on his principle, law of faith. So, you know, in our job, we get bonuses and we get increase and stuff. So we believed. I said, okay, I make bonus. I even told my son this. I said, I made it, but, you know, my boss is making what we call ridiculous levels of increase, just making money all over the place. So I said, and the Lord said, what are you doing? And then we know how to tell the Lord, I haven't been talking like that. I haven't been talking like that. So I stirred myself up. So this quarter, I said, I'm gonna make bonus in 2 months instead of 3 months. We work on a quarterly. So I began to say it. And my brother would call me and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm saying it. I got to release my faith. I got to talk to somebody. I just can't keep my words to myself. And I told him, I'm going to make it by the end of August. I'm going to make it by the end of August. I have a month left. So because we've been saying it and we prayed it and said it, not only did I make it in August, I made it to the next level of bonus by the end of August. And I'm working on the next level after the next in September. It just comes in. You have to learn how to work the word so that the word can work for you. And you work the word by putting it in your heart to believe and putting it out of your mouth to receive. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That's what you got to do. Everybody committed to do that in September and more? You got to put the word in your mouth. And you got to get the word in your heart. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So I'm going to catch up to my boss. I love him. I pray for him. But I just want to be able to say, look what God did. Catching up to you, buddy. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Why not? You're a child of God. You're the king's kids. All of us should be saying stuff about your job, your business. If you're not saying nothing, you're not getting anything. You're not using your faith as God intended to you. Faith works the same this way in any arena, any sphere, or any realm. It works the same. In the financial realm, I just kind of gave you a brief example. In the physical realm, what are you saying about your health and healing? Well, you know, COVID's going around. People even praying, churches even praying against COVID. Well, what do you think we did? We got in the word. We said, let's go through Psalms 91 for 3 weeks. How many of y'all enjoyed that journey? But it's not just to read and say, well, that's nice devotion, and close it up. It's for us to learn to practice it. Every one of us should be practicing healing. Our medical advisor is the Holy Spirit, who will tell us what to say and how to pray over our body and over our food. Because, you know, all kind of junk comes in food. You need to be praying over that stuff. What do you need to be praying and saying over your medicines that you're taking? No harmful side effects. You don't get moved because you have them. You get moved by what you're believing to have. I'm not having harmful side effects with this medicine. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Man, I'm stuck right here. I don't know why I'm stuck right here. Praise God. Praise the Lord. What are you saying about your job? What are you saying about your business? What are you saying? What words are you releasing about your family? If you don't realize it or not, we're slinging blood over you. I sling blood over my family, my extended family, my immediate family, of course, and then my extended family, and then, of course, the church family. That's why we did the blood last week in the fasting. We talked about the blood. Why? Because we got to become skillful with our faith in the blood. Surround your marriage with the blood of Jesus. That's a good thing. By faith, surround your family with the blood of Jesus. By faith, that's a good thing. Everybody say, praise the Lord. So I'm trying to stir you up about these things so you can get involved and excel. So the law of faith, Jesus said to us that is that we will have what we say. So going back to my opening statement about Kenneth E. Hagin, he said, if you're not happy or satisfied with what you have it possessed in life, check out what you've been saying. So it goes like this. What you have is what you say, and what you got is what you've said. Now, when Charles Capps was on the earth, he taught, and he got a visitation from the Lord in Hickory, North Carolina, in 1974. And the Lord visited him in his hotel room and said, my people, most of my children, talking about us as Christians, most of my children are saying what they have. And they're not having what they're saying. Now, these scriptures are a process where God wants us to operate skillfully in the principles of the law of faith. That means we don't speak about things, we speak to things. Amen. Anybody can tell, you know, a parent can report how bad things are. This is wrong, that's wrong, this is happening, this is what's bad happening. What the really tragedy is, you don't realize this is what's causing it. Praise the Lord. It's not come what may, it's come what we say. Amen. So we've been having what we say. In other words, don't just say what we see, say what you want to see. What do you want to see in your marriage? What do you want to see in your family? What do you want to see in your bank account? What do you want to see in your body? Say what you want to see. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Faith-filled words, right? Proverbs 11, 18-21. Death and life are in the power of the what? The tongue. Now, he didn't say the power of God or the power of the devil. Because everybody wants to report and be a special reporter on what the devil's doing. This is what the devil's doing. This is how he's dealing with me. This is the special problem I have. Yada, yada, yada. He said death and life is not in the devil's power. It's in the power of your tongue. That means it's in the hand, or that Hebrew word power is the hand or the control of your tongue. You can either speak death or life. Your choice. Amen. Death financially is debt, indebtedness, lack, and bills up to your eyeballs. Amen. Death to your body is sickness and disease and more medicines you have to take and pay for. What are you saying? Death and life are in the power of what? The tongue, but those who love it will eat its fruit. So we got a great get a greater appreciation and a love for the power that's left in our tongue. When we were created and as a man, when Adam was formed, the Bible says God breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. What does that mean, brothers and sisters? That means he was a life-speaking, word-speaking spirit just like God. The Hebrew word is kayan nefesh. He means he became a living soul. That means he became a life-speaking, word-speaking spirit. That's what we are today. When you're born again, you're a life-speaking, word-speaking spirit. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. You live in a body. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good right now. So the words we speak have power. They can bring life or death. They can build up or down. They can empower or destroy, whether they are words we speak to one another or words we think about ourselves. Words make a difference. Right now, look at three ways your words speak and impact our lives. Let's look at three ways. You ready? Next slide. Well, we look at a lot of words. So look at this. Death and life in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat. So when I use the phrase, get a grip on your lip, I'm talking about getting a grip on your mouth. Watch what you say. You look at a crime scene, and a lot of people don't look at the crime scene that they create with their lips. Loose lips sink ships. Now, I'm using ships as an addendum, but loose lips sink relationships. Loose lips sink fellowships. Praise God. So I'm going to get a grip on your mouth, your tongue, your speech, your speaking, your saying, your talking, your shouting, your singing, your confession, your profession, your voice, your decrees, your declarations, your affirmation, and your words. Words have the power of life and death. Words have the power to bring sweetness to our soul. You got the scripture references up there to reference. Proverbs 16:24. Words can bring health to our bodies. Proverbs 16:24. Words produce fruit. Proverbs 17:14. Words can turn away anger. Proverbs 15:1. Words can stir up strife. Proverbs 15:1. Words can frame our world. Hebrews 11:3. So if you're not happy with what you have or possess in life, check out what you've been saying and speaking. A lot of people say they're not happy or they're unhappy, but, and they're reinforcing or updating their pain and their problem because of the words of their mouth. That's why complaining is so evil and not good. Because when you complain and when you call out the problem, you update it. It might have been something you dealt with 5 years ago, but you're still bringing it to currency or a update. You're re-upping it or you're renewing it in your life when you tend to talk about it. That's why Jesus said, don't talk about your problems, talk to your problems. It's a different thing. Now, how many of you are committed to talking to your problems? We're going to take communion today. Talking to your problems, talking to your mountains. Come on, that's only a couple of y'all. How many of you are committed? Come on, how many of y'all committed to talking to your problems? Amen. All right, next slide, guys. Next slide, next slide. All right, John 17. It says here, Jesus spake these words, lift up your eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, as you have given him the authority over all flesh, and he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know that the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the works that you have given me to finish, to do. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself and the glory which I had before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you've given me out of the world. They are yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. They have kept what? God's word. That's good to keep God's word. Now they have known all things, right, that you have given me are you from you. Verse 8, this is a powerful verse. For I have given them the words. Everybody say, Jesus has given us words. The words which you have given me and the words which you have given me, they have received them. Everybody say, they received them. It says, good to receive the word, right? And they have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So we see our Lord Jesus gave us the same life-giving, faith-filled words that God gave him. And it's up to us to choose to receive his words. Not fearful words, not fretful words, not faithful words. And how we treat God's word is how we treat God and treat our Lord Jesus Christ. Because God and his word are one. They're synonymous. So you say, well, I don't want his word, but I want God. No, you can't have one without the other. If you're loving the word, you're loving God. If you're loving God and loyal to God, then you're loving the word and you're loyal to his word. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we can't just skip the Bible and say, well, I just want Jesus. No, Jesus was the living word, but he gave us the written word. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Friends, our words are the only thing that counts as evidence. That's why we got to get a grip on our lips. Romans 4:21 talks about this and says that we should be like in Abraham and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was also able to perform. So when you're fully persuaded of God's faithfulness to you, your faith will withstand the courtroom testimony. It will become irrefutable evidence to God of God and his goodness. Somebody say, praise the Lord. How do we get to this point in our faith? Romans 10:17, right there in the middle. So then faith comes by hearing. Everybody say it with me. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say having heard. It says hearing. So if we're supposed to live by faith, that means we got to hear something every day. We got to hear the word every day. The quickest way to get the word heard is through your own lips. That's why we say you don't just read the Bible with your mind. You read the Bible with your mouth open. You read it out loud. Because you feed the Bible then. You don't just read it. You feed it. The word spoken feeds your spirit through your own ears. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you read the Bible out loud, you're feeding your spirit. Now, some of us eat 3 hot meals a day, but we give our spirit a cold snack each week. Let's change that. When we take communion, let's change that. Let's say I'm going to feed my inner man, my spirit, more than I feed my outer man, my flesh, my body. Everybody got that? Everybody understand that? All right, everybody good? So words are more than letters in yellow there. Words are containers. They hold things. So I can't just be running off at the mouth like I got diarrhea or dysentery. I know I get your attention. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Anybody had diarrhea? Well, praise the Lord. You talking about that in church, Pastor? Yeah. Well, that's how some people act in with their mouth. Their mouth just runs off and runs off track. Just like that stuff runs out of you. Sometimes so forcibly your ribs hurt. Your stomach muscles hurt. Brother back there, he understands what I'm talking about. Praise God. Everybody else looking at me like this. What are you talking about? Diarrhea, Pastor. Somebody say hallelujah. But sometimes that's how our mouth just gets out of line. We got to remember that words are not just what? Letters. Words are containers. They hold things. They hold things, brother. They hold life or death. The choice is ours to release either one. Some things you need to kill in your life. You speak death to that. Disappear, dissolve. Well, of course, it's disease. You give it a death blow. I command you to cease and desist. I take your life away from affecting my body. Whew. Y'all tough this morning. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So be careful what you're allowing, what words you're allowing to fill your heart. Because if you just digest social media and TV and, you know, football's back in, so I gotta manage sports. Because I can fill up on sports. My flesh would love to fill up on sports. But it's not necessarily great for my faith. Amen. We got to protect our faith, right? Somebody say, praise the Lord. And whatever movie you like or whatever shows you like, you can fill up on that. But it's not going to help feed your faith. That's where we have to make a decision at the communion table. When we take the communion, we got to say, is this good for my faith? Because God wants us to grow and go somewhere with our faith. Our faith in God. Our faith in His Word. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Look what Matthew says here, Matthew 12:23 and 37. New Living Translation says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, the fruit is good. And if the tree is bad, then the fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes. Jesus is talking. He's talking to Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites. Who can tell me what a hypocrite is? Somebody that knows something but says something differently. They're pretenders. We call them faith pretenders. Not contenders, but pretenders. I'm pretending like I'm in faith. It's really a fake faith. False faith. So he called them brood of vipers. He says, brood of snakes. How can evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. That's a powerful statement. I'd underline that or highlight that. A good person produces good things from the treasury of his good heart, and an evil person produces the evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. The words who say? That you say will either acquit you or condemn you. So I want to desire and convey this to you this morning. Words are more important than oftentimes we realize. That's what I want us to receive and reflect on today. Words, more specifically, faith words. And according to the Bible, words destroy, depress, or discourage, or make us full of life, happiness, and health. According to the teaching of Jesus here, we see that there are no inconsequential words. He said, every word. You must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle. What that means? What does that word idle mean? Useless, non-productive, pretending, contentious word that you speak. So everybody say, I got to watch my mouth. I got to get a grip on my lip and don't let it slip. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Words matter. Words spoken yesterday make life what it is today. Your life is the sum total of your words you've spoken along with your life choices. Now, Jesus said this. Here's what we see. He said, whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Right here, I got it underlined. Another translation in the New King James, it says this, out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. In other words, Jesus gave us a big math formula. What's the math formula, Pastor? M equals H plus A. M, mouth, equals heart plus abundance. And then when he says, out of the treasure of your heart, or the, it's either good treasure or bad treasure. That word treasure means deposit. It means, the Greek word is thesaurus, where we get the word thesaurus, words. So the words you deposit into your heart, or you allow to be put in your heart through your ears. Because fear comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Words you allow to be put in your heart will eventually come out of your mouth. And if they get in your heart in abundance, they're going to move through your mouth. So you could tell what your heart is full of by what you're saying. Come on, y'all. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Come on, stand to your feet. Praise God. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. That's enough. That's enough y'all can take this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Father, we thank you that you're teaching us and reminding us again the importance and the power of words in our life and in our life experience. Help us to realize today as we take communion the power of our words and how to harness and align and assign that power to the areas of our need, to the areas of our family's needs, our area of our financial needs, our physical needs, our emotional needs. Help us to use this instrument of faith appropriately every day and in every way in the month of September.